This podcast could contain some content and/or language that could be classified as sensitive for some listeners.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
I recently started wearing a new bra by Third Love, and I absolutely adore it. Did you know that breast shape matters when you're finding a good fit? I didn't. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. I found the Fit Finder quiz really helpful when I was picking out my Third Love bra. I didn't know I was wearing the wrong size for so long. I think what's really awesome about this is that over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date, and it's actually a pretty fun experience. I answered a few simple questions and I found my perfect fit in about 60 seconds. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, which is more sizes than most other brands, including their signature half cup sizes. Not only that, but Third Love is convenient. You can skip the trip to the mall, find your fit with their online fit finder, order, try it on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. What really sold me on Third Love was the 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, you can return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. What's not to love? Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering Hey Girl listeners 15% off of your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/heygirl to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/heygirl for 15% off today. I'll be sitting down with some phenomenal women to discuss love.
I believe we grew distant out of love of some type, like, yeah. I don't want to hurt you.
Loss.
Really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of grief in any moment.
And a topic very important to my work, self-care.
I'm holding on to this self-care with every ounce of me.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. A lot of these conversations are pretty private, and these women are courageous and vulnerable and transparent, and that alone shows us that we're not alone in our struggle. We're going to be talking to women who are mothers, who are entrepreneurs, who are career women, who are queer women, who are straight women, who are in relationships. I definitely want the listeners to relate to these stories. I want them to know that other women go through what they go through. That's what makes this such a special experience. My first guest on the podcast is Angelique Jude. She lost her mom when she was 6 years old and has been able to navigate through love and loss and ultimately redemption. Her mother has left behind a wonderful legacy. Not many people can willingly sit and talk about how death has touched them and how death plays a major part in their lives from such a young age. This is Angelique's story. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
How are you?
Doing well.
I'm really glad to have you here for my very first podcast episode. Very exciting and super random. So I am sitting down with a bunch of my girlfriends and just talking about their different stories. And I want to share them with people everywhere because I feel like we all have such a rainbow of experiences. I wanted to sit down specifically with you to talk about your life without a mom because you grew up without your mom starting at age 6. So can you kind of give us some background on how that affected you and how you dealt with not growing up with your mom?
My mom was diagnosed with breast cancer when I was about 9 months. And she fought through the different stages of breast cancer with chemotherapy and radiation. She had a double mastectomy, the whole thing. And ultimately, the cancer spread to her organ, her other organs, and she passed when I was 6.
How did you find out your mom had
passed away? Because I know your dad really tried to protect you and your brother as much as he could. And I know that that's super difficult, like building these boundaries to protect your young kids, but also letting them experience and feel and grieve. So how did daddy handle that? Because that's what I call him.
Daddy Jude. Mm-hmm. He was very protective, but still as much as you can with a 6 and 8 year old.
Right.
Communicative as well,
yeah.
About that our mother was sick,
mm-hmm.
that likely she would be transitioning,
mm-hmm.
and passing away.
Mm-hmm.
So the weekend that they assumed or somewhat predicted that she would pass, he had his mother take my brother and I. So we weren't in the house when she did transition,
mm-hmm.
but it allowed my dad time to have
with her,
with right,
yeah.
just my mom, and have those final moments and be there with her without, I wouldn't say pressure, but maybe
a little
pressure, yeah. of having me and my brother there.
Yeah.
I want to say the day after or 2 days later,
mm-hmm.
when they had removed her body, my grandmother brought us back to the house,
mm-hmm.
and there was lots of family members present. And church members, and I had this really bizarre memory of how this all went down when we returned home, and we were told that
yeah.
that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was gone.
So let me stop you right there real quick. So when you were told that your mom passed away, if you can remember, because this was so long ago, how did you wrap your mind around it? Did your brother, because he was a little bit older than you, like, were you sad? Did you cry? Like, what were the, how do you even, like, wrap your mind around your parent being gone and being little, you know? Do you remember?
It was really bizarre. Like, my memories of that entire time was very, it was just strange,
yeah.
because I knew what was going on, but I don't think that I understood what death really was,
right.
and that it was truly permanent.
Right.
I remember even at her funeral, but once again, I was sick, so mm-hmm. this isn't about insensitivity
right.
or lack of emotion.
Right.
But I was in the church basement painting my nails with my cousins. Like,
yeah, right.
And I don't know if that was to shelter me or to not really sit through the entire service,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think I fully understood
that mommy is not coming back.
Right. And I remember the only time I cried from finding out,
mm-hmm.
was when I saw her in the casket.
Mm.
So I remember the sensory things about that. I remember her skin had a grayish tone.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my dad had slathered her in frankincense and myrrh oil. Like, I can still,
oh, Daddy,
I can still smell it. And when I smell that now, I still think
of
that.
Her. Wow.
It was like really pungent. It was so strong.
Because Daddy just goes all out.
Yes,
and
he does.
We love him for it. That's
yes,
great.
Yes, he does.
But that's so interesting because you and I have talked about this. Like, my husband, Ryan, who you know very well, his mom passed away last year. And after that, it just felt like life was so short. Like, both of us can kind of feel our mortality now. And I've talked to you about it before. Like, I just don't know. Like, I don't want to die. Like, I just, no thanks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, like, that's what I've known since I've been little. So you handle it way better than me. But I'm like, how do you handle that? Like, walking around knowing that you're going to be a mother someday, or you're going to be a wife someday, and I think of that as a mother now and as a wife now. Like, I don't want to leave nobody behind. Like, I catch myself thinking, like, oh, I'm going to die. Who's going to die first, me or Ryan? You know, I
oh
hope we
goodness.
Die together. I know, but that's just, it's as intense as that is, it's scary. It's scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
You losing your mom at such a young age and not really seeming scared of death, kind of like, well, this is what happens. I experienced it so young. It's really admirable for me because the older I get, the more I trip out about dying. And I really, like, when we talk about it, I try to keep it light with him. But I'm like, I hope we die together, like, in the notebook. but it's totally going to happen. So just how have you navigated life without your mom? Just going from being a young girl to a teenager, like, getting your period. We've had that conversation and how lucky you were with that situation. I'm going to
mm-hmm.
let you tell it. And then, like, just college and first loves and things like that. Like, how did you navigate life without your mom?
It has been an interesting experience, yeah, to say the least.
Yeah.
Because what has been interesting and hard for me, or what shaped most of my childhood, mm-hmm, what hurt more or what left the like lasting impression,
right, right,
wasn't necessarily that my mom died. It was what happened after, mm-hmm, and all that it caused.
Right. Okay.
Because my dad was suddenly a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, like a Sagittarius like me, were sweet, kind, loving, gentle,
yes,
all those things.
Yeah.
And my dad,
it's off the chain.
It's a Gemini. Yeah. So we all know how Geminis are. A little crazy. And he had anger issues. Mm-hmm. So they were really night and day.
Yeah. And she was the balance.
She was the balance. And so when that left, we were left with a man that was grieving,
mm-hmm,
a man who wasn't nurturing,
mm-hmm,
who grew up in an abusive home, mm-hmm, with alcoholic parents. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have the tools,
right,
to even try and fill that void,
right,
of losing our mother and, right, losing that nurturing parent.
Yeah.
So it became a struggle for both my brother and I to function,
mm-hmm,
with such a masculine presence in the house all the time, who had anger issues, who was grieving, who was dealing with his own childhood just
stuff.
Drama stuff, mm-hmm, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it was more difficult for my brother because he was older.
Mm-hmm.
He was more attached to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Not attached, but he was a mama's boy.
Right.
And I'm definitely a daddy's girl.
Right.
So for me, I wasn't missing in affection because I was most affectionate
with
my dad,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
like most little girls are. We cuddle with them and,
mm-hmm,
all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother no longer had that,
yeah,
soft nurture, and I think he needed it more.
Mm-hmm.
And he may be somebody you want to have a conversation with in the podcast,
yeah,
just because,
yeah,
he's transitioned, mm-hmm, and he's transgender.
Mm-hmm.
When we went through childhood therapy and all of that,
right,
that was touched on, that my dad being so masculine,
yeah,
and my brother being always more on
feminine,
the feminine side,
yeah,
it like pushed him towards being transgender.
Mm-hmm.
And he just always had more of a feminine presence than even I did.
Yeah.
It's just been a lot to process,
mm-hmm,
for most of my adulthood,
yeah,
trying to figure out kind of the holes that it placed,
yeah,
within me.
Yeah.
And the different areas of my life that it made harder to navigate.
Okay.
So, like you said, we've touched on, like, the little things that you miss,
yeah,
your mom for.
Yeah.
And I was lucky in the sense that, like, when I did get my first menstrual cycle. I was thankfully with my grandmother once again.
That's so, an angel. That,
like,
is mama being an angel.
It really was
all the way.
Because I probably would have freaked out. I did freak out, but at least I was with a woman.
Right,
so
right.
In those moments where you're supposed to have your mom, mm-hmm, that's when you feel empty,
right,
for those sorts of things.
Right.
And I think less in my childhood and more so now, I feel the grief of not having my mom.
Okay. So let's talk about that. You being, we're almost 30 now. Whew, Lord.
Oh, Jesus. We both took an inhale.
How is that? Like, I know you're really super close with your dad. Which is...
That's been a process.
That has been a process.
Healing.
That has been a process. But do you think your mom not being here has played a part in you guys becoming closer? Like, do you have conversations with your mom? I know Ryan, he talks to his mom. He prays to her. He said that since she's dead now, he's like, I don't really pray to God. Like, I pray to my mom, you know,
mm-hmm,
and they have conversations and she comes to him in his dreams and all that. So I, mm-hmm, just wonder... Do you experience that, and how her not being here, how has that shaped you and your dad's relationship?
Definitely have conversations with my mom.
Yeah.
Especially growing up, similar to Ryan, I would always pray to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, as a child, especially in child therapy, and it was definitely Christian based.
Yeah.
Because we were in private school. They're like, oh, you know, your mom is with God now.
Mm-hmm.
So in my little child mind, I'm like, okay, well, I can just pray to my mom.
Right. She's sitting up right there with him. So. Right, right.
And she probably loves me a little bit more. Who knows? Right. Let me pray to her, see what she can do.
Right.
But I definitely still talk with her regularly. Mm-hmm. Just trying to seek guidance in the areas that I still struggle.
Right.
To be feminine in certain ways, mm-hmm. feminine in a relationship, soft in a relationship, mm-hmm. because my most consistent relationship in my life, period, has been with my dad.
Right.
I'm not that close with my family. Another story, another day, another time. But he's always been my closest relationship.
He's your everything, kind of.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's a man.
Mm-hmm.
He can't teach me, but so much about.
Right.
Functioning as a woman in a relationship and how to be soft, because I didn't have those things modeled.
Right.
So sometimes I'll talk to her for guidance or just write out, similar to even how I have a prayer journal and I talk to God, I do talk to my mom and write out thoughts as well.
Yeah.
So that's helped. It's comforting in the sense that I feel I can try to connect still with her spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes where I felt her presence the most is when I'll go and visit her gravesite.
Mm-hmm.
Like her energy is still there.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe not in obvious ways. Maybe I'll be asking her a question and there's like a gust of wind out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a confirmation to that question.
Yeah.
So now, in my adult life, my biggest fear is that I won't feel the full force of grief until I hit those milestones that you really want your mom there for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of your wedding day and the whole process leading up to that.
Yeah.
And when I have my first child, you know, those sorts of things where you really need your mom.
Yeah. So would you say that healing comes in waves for you, even now at almost, how old are we? 28? As we grow and get older, like, do you feel like you miss her more now?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Grief is really a tricky thing because
there's
no manual, plan, guidebook for
it.
You really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of grief in any moment.
Right.
So there are times just even on your wedding day, seeing your mom and your grandma and Ryan's mom there and the tears and just the energy, that feminine energy that was there, that really hit me and made me emotional because I'm like, I'm not going to have that. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
So that triggers the grief. Sometimes watching a movie about someone with breast cancer will trigger the grief.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many points in your life where you're not expecting it, where it can hit. So it's a constant, I think, healing process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And especially when it's someone so close to you as your mother, I don't think you ever fully... You feel cheated.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I feel. I feel cheated.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of carried that, like, this subtle jealousy for everyone that still has their mom.
Yeah. Ryan feels that way now. He and I have talked about this. Like, he has caught himself feeling really sad about not having his mom, but then he'll say, because you're the closest person to us that doesn't have their mom, and he'll say, but I know Aja would have killed to have 30 years with her mom.
Right.
So it's like that is always going to be that constant battle, that push and pull, because he'll even say, like, you know, I'm jealous, like, when he sees other people with their mom. Sometimes even when he's with my family and he's like, I wish my mom was around. Do you know what I mean? Or it's just interesting to see how when one person transitions out of this life, how the people who are left in this life are continuously transitioning here and trying to figure out and wrap around and wrap their head around, like, how am I going to function through this? And how do I stay grateful for what I had? It's tricky, and I've never lost anyone super close to me. And that scares me. And we've talked about that too. I'm like, I just know, like, I'm okay. Like, I just want everybody to be with me forever because that's just all I know. And I'm not ready to feel that type of loss. So it's really admirable when I watching you just navigate through life, watching my husband navigate through life and his siblings navigate through life without your mom, like your backbone, like that's who brought you into this earth. You know what I mean? It's really admirable.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I also want to touch on, like, what are some of your fondest six-year-old memories of your mom? I know you've told me one about watching scary movies.
Yes. She made it a point to spend a lot of time with us, likely because she knew her time was limited.
Right.
And at that point where she was battling with, like, doing the chemotherapy, she was bedridden often.
Right, right.
And my dad was working overnight shifts. While he was away doing the overnight shifts, we would be in the bed with her, and she would do and kind of let us break all the rules.
Yeah.
So she wasn't supposed to be eating meat because my dad totally believed in
holistic living,
vegan,
everything.
She was not about that life. She loved Popeyes and Cinnabons and crab legs and everything that I love.
Yep.
So now you know where it comes from. So she, she would sneak Popeyes in the house and we would be up
eating Popeyes,
watching Tales from the Crypt and watching Stephen King's It, which children should not be watching. But I've loved horror movies since then.
I know.
For some reason, I was totally into it as a kid. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And then her trying to cover for us, like when we heard his key in the door and like scurry back to our bed.
Like, Daddy's home.
And she was also very nurturing of our creativity because she was a very creative person too. She loved to paint. She loved to draw. She used to sew and make all types of outfits, trying to make African outfits, which is so funny.
I think I remember you telling me. Didn't she make you guys' uniforms or something? Did you tell me that?
Not our uniforms, but a lot of stuff. Right. She made us little Liberian moo-moos and things. It was really cute. And she had some for herself. Like,
that's
we had
awesome.
Matching
that is so
little
cute.
Outfits. It was really cute. Sometimes even when I do those things, I feel connected to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I've attempted to sew my own clothes.
I remember that. And it actually came out really cute, your skirt.
It did. But my fingers were
on fire
for like a week. So I won't ever do that again. But that made me feel connected to her. Any creative expression does. Mm-hmm. Because that's what she loved to do. We would always paint. Jaw, although I wasn't skilled in that area.
Before we wrap up, I do want to touch on how not having your mom here has kind of been your guiding force as a woman as far as being the best woman you can be, because I truly admire you. I think you're wonderful. And
thank you.
It's such a joy being your friend and your sister. Like, you're just awesome. So how do you keep her legacy alive, or how do you try to keep her legacy alive just by being, you know, and being present and in your relationship, in your friendships, work life? Like, how do you do that?
Similar to what Ryan mentioned about how he has all of these memories, right?
Mm-hmm.
30 years with his mom
mm-hmm.
that he now feels saddened because he doesn't have her presence,
right.
having experienced all of her loveliness.
Right.
I didn't have that same experience.
Right.
I have certain memories, but they're not like full, vibrant memories.
Right, right.
So a lot of my knowledge of my mom and the type of woman she was comes from other people.
Mm-hmm.
How they interacted with her, how she impacted them.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that always stood out is nobody ever had anything bad to say about my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they said she was the sweetest person.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of shy and quiet like me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have very similar mannerisms. So that's always nice to hear when someone says that, because then I feel like I really am a part
her.
Of this.
Yeah.
That always stuck with me, because there aren't, I mean, there are people, but there aren't that many people when they pass that nobody, you know, people still, you know, they were a little like this.
Yeah.
You know, but they always had good things to say about her.
Yeah.
So when I think of what a woman's supposed to be, that really is my idea, right?
Mm, mm.
So to be kind, to show up for people in your life, to love unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the one thing, like, my dad always stressed, and that was the source of all of his grief. He feels like she's the only woman in, like, his whole entire existence that ever loved him unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
He was just saying this again 2 days ago. So, like, but that's how, that was her impact. Imagine,
you think,
like,
he's still in love with her?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He still can remember that so strongly.
Yeah.
And that she loved and conducted herself in a way that it still touches people.
Yeah.
And there was one of my exes who was Liberian too, and Liberians, like, it's always an ongoing joke, like, everyone's your cousin. And he was having a family function, and one of my family members was there. And we had this, like, really freak out moment, like, hopefully we're not related. That would be awkward.
Yeah.
But it was a distant cousin that was there, but I had only probably met her two or three times before.
Mm-hmm.
She probably hadn't seen me since I was maybe 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought up my mom.
Wow.
And how much she missed her. And she started crying in the middle of this cookout.
Oh,
just off, you know, so I have these moments
of her.
Of just her.
Yeah.
And and getting glimpses of just how awesome she was.
Yeah.
And how loving she must have been.
Yeah.
So that really is always the center of who I want to be and how I want to be remembered and the type of mother I want to be, the type of wife that I'd like to be one day.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely shapes how I act and how I treat the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
She was amazing. And I hope that I can be a fraction of her, to be honest.
Yeah.
So
that's wonderful. Well, thank you, sis, for being here. Oh, I definitely want people to know where they can find you and your writing and social media and all that. So feel free to share.
You can find me on Instagram. It's just my first name. It's
She's Angelique. The only Angelique in the world.
It's AJOLIQUE.
Yep. And that's the same for Twitter, right?
Yes.
Just
for
all
everything.
Around.
You know, nobody has my name. It's a blessing.
Yes, that is a blessing. All right, girl. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey Girl is a member of the District Productive Network. Produced by Jamie Benson and me, Alex L. Music provided by DC's own Kokai.